What a great time of worship this has been. A great Father's Day. Oh, what a blessing it is. 16 years ago, Esquire magazine began conducting an annual survey. And for the last 16 years, they have conducted 300 interviews asking famous people, athletes, actors, presidents, business leaders, asking them the question, what's the best thing your father ever taught you? But in a special edition, Esquire magazine asked the same question of regular American men. Not famous people, not wealthy people, not well-known, just guys like you and me. They asked them the same question. What's the best thing your father ever taught you in your life? Let me give you a few examples of the answers. A 46-year-old architect from Massachusetts said, oh, I remember this. He said, when I was 18, my dad taught me responsibility. He said, I was shifting gears in my car and shattered the transmission. I had the tow truck bring it home, figuring my dad, a self-taught mechanic, would fix it. Instead, my dad got a used transmission from a scrapyard and dropped it in the driveway. 23-year-old English teacher. He said, my dad taught me a lesson about relationships and responsibility. He said, I was pitching in a Little League championship game when our defense collapsed, allowing 8 runs in 1 inning. He said, I was so mad, I threw my glove and I spit and I yelled, you guys stink. Well, my dad heard me. And he made me call each player and apologize. He said, I regretted the insult, but I wanted to pretend it didn't happen. But he said, I'd have been grounded for a year if I didn't make those 11 humiliating phone calls. And he said, I'm so glad I had a dad who made me do it. A 39-year-old man from Virginia said, my dad taught me that commitment is both romantic and real. My dad spent 3 decades in the Marines, got engaged to my mom a week after they met, and they've been married 44 years. And then a young man, 36 years old from New Hampshire, said, my dad taught me, don't try to solve your wife's problems. She just wants you to listen, so keep your mouth shut. Good advice, good advice. Dads feed into their children's character. And that's really what all that is about. Whether you're teaching responsibility or relationships or commitment, you're feeding in to the character of your kids. And all fathers should aspire to do that. We should desire to do that in the short time God gives us to invest ourselves in the lives of our children. But wouldn't you agree with me that there should be something distinctive about a Christian dad? Wouldn't you agree with me there should be something distinctive about the influence of a father who has given their lives to Christ, that influence they have over the children God has made them stewards of? Wouldn't you agree that it's important that we invest character into our children, but as a Christian dad, shouldn't there be some biblical distinctives about the way we do that, about the character we instill in our children? Shouldn't we be taking our cues from God and the Bible? Well, of course we should. And this morning, I want you to look with me at one of those distinctives. One thing that Christian fathers, fathers who follow Christ, can instill into their children. It's radical faith. It's radical faith. We live in an age of superheroes. Marvel Comics and DC Comics have made the superhero the juggernaut of the cinema the last several years as one thing after another, one superhero after another. But I'll tell you something, men. Before there was Spider-Man and Iron Man and Superman and Batman and Ant-Man, there were men. There have always been men. And men always make a decision of whether they're going to be men of God with radical faith or men who lead regular lives, mediocre in their faith. And I believe that you and I, men who call ourselves Christians, I believe we have a superhero quality just waiting to get out. Radical faith in God. Faith in God that says, God, no matter what, I want to believe you. I want to follow you. And I want to lead my family to follow you. You want to be a hero at home? I want to be a hero at home. Well, it starts with radical faith in God. We're going to spend some time in Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. If you have your Bible, look over in the New Testament, find Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to look at a few passages of Scripture, but I want you to glance at one with me right away. Now, Hebrews 11, as you're probably familiar with it, is a chapter that chronicles people of great faith, radical faith, and what they did for God in the ancient times, and how we should imitate that, and how we should apply that. And there's a long chronicle of these events and these people and their faith. But if we jump way ahead to Hebrews 11:32, the writer tells us, he says, I don't have enough time to write down all the great actions of faith and all the great things that the people of God have done. In chapter 11, verse 32, he says, and what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength after being weak, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to flight. I don't know about you, but those sound like superheroes to me. They sound like heroes of the faith who have stepped out and in radical obedience to God, they have made an impact on their world and on history. That's what a hero for Christ is. Man, I believe that's what we should be at home. If we're going to be heroes at home, we should be heroes of radical faith. I don't want you to hear me say in any of this that you're automatically going to be perfect dads or perfect men or perfect people. No. You might be thinking, well, you know, Pastor Bob, I just can't get that right. I want to tell you something. For all the things in life, men, that we don't get right, all the mistakes we make, I guarantee you, you can get this right. You can trust God every day and lead your family to do so. You can get that right. But it starts with a decision you and I make first and foremost to say, God, no matter what, I will follow you. I will live for you. I will trust you. And I will lead my family to do just that. That's what a hero of the faith is. Regular people, just regular people, but with radical faith, who want to lead their families to have that same kind of faith. So back to the beginning in Hebrews chapter 11. We have a definition of faith, and I want you to pay attention to it, because this tells us what we're talking about, what we mean by radical faith, what we mean by the Christian father's difference, the difference the Christian man can make in the home and what it looks like. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen, for our ancestors won God's approval by it. Now without faith, jump down to verse 6. Now without faith, it is impossible to please God, for the one who draws near to Him must believe that He exists and rewards those who seek Him. Now pay attention to verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know what that tells me? That tells me that radical faith, faith that's distinctive, faith that leads your family deeper into relationships with Christ, that makes an impact on the world, has this one characteristic. It is faith that begins from the position of saying, I want to please God. God, that no matter what, when I wake up today, no matter what happens at work, no matter what happens at home, no matter what my calendar says I'm supposed to do today, my agenda really is just one thing, to please God. The preference of my life, the strategy of my life, the agenda of my life is to please God. God decides where I'm doing that. God decides how I'm doing that. But I prefer above all else to please God. Those are people of radical faith. When you and I make that decision on the front end of life, when we make that decision at the beginning of every day, we have determined this one thing, that God, I will live for you, and my faith will stand out. It will have to stand out because God's going to shape our lives and guide our lives and teach us how to be people of radical faith. Men, I hope we can aspire to be that kind of person, that kind of man that says, God, I want to please you. Let everything else fall in line after that. I want to please you. This morning, I want us to look for a moment at some characteristics, some traits that we see in chapter 11 that are common of people who start from that position, who begin by saying, God, I want to please you. First of all, for example, when you prefer to please God, when that's the position you take, then you'll see your conviction produces action. Your conviction produces action. You know, if anything characterizes a hero, it's action. They take action. There's no such thing as a hero that sits back and watches. Those are the spectators, not the heroes. Heroes take action. So we read the definition of faith. We read it as the proof of what is not seen. That word translated proof actually means something like convicting evidence. So a lot of our Bible translations call it the conviction of things not seen. We are convinced, we have a conviction that what we see is not all there is. And because what we see is not all there is, we are willing to listen to God and take action and be obedient to God when He asks us to trust Him. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. We see this characteristic of action played out by those who have a conviction of faith. As verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was approved as a righteous man because God approved his gifts. And even though he is dead, he still speaks through his faith. In short, because of his radical faith, Abel took action and he worshiped God. And it was a standout worship. It was worship that had an impact on the people around him, especially Cain. Verse 8, look at chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Now, you and I don't usually make our plans that way, do we? If we do, we get in trouble with our wives. We don't break out the Google Maps and say, this is where we're going and this is how we're going to get there. This is how long it's going to take. But when God calls us forward and calls us in faith, that obedient servant of God says, I will go. I will do, God, whatever you ask me to do. Our conviction that God is at work means we take action on what God asks us to do. Man, I want to ask you, does your family know that you believe that? Does your family know that you are willing to trust God with radical faith, to do things unconventional, to do things different because it's in the Word of God, because that's what God wants you to do? Do you encourage through prayer and through conversation, do you encourage your family, your children, to follow God, to do what He says, no matter what, so God can do work in your lives? Think about the conversations you've had lately with your children. Have they been conversations that encouraged action, encouraged faith? Have they been conversations that discouraged their faith? If your child comes to you and says, Dad, I think God wants me to do this, this, this. How do you respond? Let me tell you something, Dad. The only right response first, for those who prefer to please God, the only first right response that should come out of our mouths is, son, daughter, I want you to know, I want you to do whatever God wants you to do. And I'm with you in that. So tell me about it. What does God want you to do? Let's pray together. Let's talk about it. But you know how we often respond, guys? Too expensive. Can't do that. No, I don't know. Might not be safe. And we care about our children. We care about the cost. But remember, we're becoming people who, first of all, want to please God and teach our children to please God. So we let God worry about those things. And we respond first by saying, what does God want you to do? What does God want you to do? And that's how you and I need to respond to God also. When God calls us up and calls us out and says, I want you to do this, are we willing to take action? Do we have a conviction of faith that says, yes, I will go, I will do, God, whatever you desire, because first and foremost, I want to please God. So people of that trait, that radical faith, have this characteristic. They have a conviction that produces action. Secondly, you will see if you have that preference, you will see that you have leadership that produces a legacy, that your leadership will produce a legacy of faith. children and even grandchildren that believe that God will work in their lives as they've seen Him work in your family and in your life. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20. Hebrews 11 and verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and he worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. You know what's distinctive about this? These fathers and grandfathers are visionaries. Did you catch that? Jacob is blessing his sons' sons. Grandfathers. Grandfathers who have a vision, a legacy of faith, and say, yes, I want to pray for you. I want to bless you, grandchildren. You go out and you serve God. You do whatever God wants you to do, because that's what matters most. The preference in this family, the legacy I have left, is that we please God and that we serve God. Fathers, grandfathers, parents, grandparents. Leave that kind of legacy. You know, we talk about heroes. I mentioned a moment ago, every hero is a person of action, right? How many of you would go to the Avengers film to sit for 2 hours and watch the Avengers sit at a picnic and do nothing? You wouldn't. I hope you wouldn't. Another trait of all heroes is vision. Heroes are visionaries. Heroes see the world as a better place. Heroes see that they can get involved, that they can sacrifice, that they can participate. That's what a hero is. That's what these heroes are. These heroes are people of radical faith, fathers, grandfathers, grandparents, who look at the next generation. They say, I want to bless you. I want to do something that will last for you. This is why I get so excited about First Baptist Church, so excited about Vision 2020, so excited about you, people of God, who have a vision to look ahead and say, we want to bless the next generation. Dad's another way you do it. You bless your children. You leave a lasting legacy of character by your leadership and what it means to be a man. What it means to be a young lady. Because you're the man and the life of those kids. Here's a question you and I have to ask ourselves all the time. You and I, men, you and I, and granddads, we have children and grandchildren. Ask yourself all the time, what are you teaching them about it, what it means to be a man, to be a father, to be a grandfather? I picked up this story not long ago and held on to it, wondering if God would have me use it, and it works out today really well. A writer named Shea Serrano tells this story. He said he had just exited the highway and was on his way home when his car sputtered and died. He said, I tried unsuccessfully to start the car, called a tow truck. The wrecker arrived and deposited the car on the driveway of my house. He goes on to say that he popped the hood and he fiddled with the wires and the hoses a bit. He wanted to at least feel like he had done, you know, the guy thing. And there he stood looking at the car, having no idea what to do. So a little bit exhausted and with no other knowledge, he did what all men do. He called his dad. His dad listened on the other end of the phone and simply responded, I'll come up there tomorrow after work. Now, his father lived 215 miles away and worked a 10-hour shift. So after a 10-hour shift, the next day, his father drove 215 miles, arrived on his doorstep, said, son, good to see you. Gave him a hug. Where's the car? Went around back, popped the hood, looked at the car, set the tool bag down, took all of 15 seconds, closed the hood, walked back around, said, son, we're done. He said, well, dad, what's wrong? You bring the wrong tools? Don't know what to do? He said, oh, no, it was out of gas. Now, let me ask you, dads, how would you respond to that? You know how Shay's dad responded to that? He said, can I stay for supper? They sat down. They had a meal. His dad drove 215 miles back, got up the next morning, went to a 10-hour shift, and never mentioned the event again. Never once berated him. Never once criticized him. Never once told him how stupid he was or nothing like that. All he said was, car needs gas. Let's eat. Dads, ask yourselves. Granddads, ask yourselves, what are you teaching your children, your grandchildren, it means to be a man, to be a dad? But more importantly, what are you teaching them it means to be a godly man? A man of grace, a man of character, a man after God's own heart, a man who loves like Christ loves. What are you teaching them? What are you teaching them? Leave them a legacy of leadership. And your faith will show. Then third, if you're the kind of person that prefers to please God, your commitment produces courage. If heroes are people of action, if they are people of vision, they are heroes because they are people of courage. Every hero is known to be courageous. Look at chapter 11 and verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the short-lived pleasure of sin. For he considered the reproach because of the Messiah to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since his attention was on the reward. By faith he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. You know what that means? That means that Moses was more concerned to please God than he was to fear people. He wasn't afraid of Pharaoh nearly as much as he feared God and wanted to serve God and wanted to please God. And Moses made his decision a long time ago that when it came right down to it, he would serve and love God regardless of comfort, regardless of fear. He would do what God wanted him to do. And the Bible says that he could have been a prince of Egypt. He left behind great wealth. He left behind great power. He walked out on all of that. He associated himself with the lowest people in Egypt, the Hebrew people, the people of his lineage. And eventually God used him to save them, to bring them out of Egypt. But he said, no, I want to serve God more than I want to serve Pharaoh. I want to serve God, and I love God, and I fear God more than I will ever fear Pharaoh, the king, or the government. It's not hard to see how applicable that is in our day and time, is it, men? As we're coming at a time, and some of us have already been there, where we're going to have to make some decisions. As the government may impose on us decisions that we're not there when we took that job, we're not there when we're in that position of leadership to start with, but the government says, or our employer says, you have to do this, you have to do that. That's the day you and I decide. Do we please God? Or do we please men? Who do we really fear? Who do we really want to follow? Who do we want to see work in our lives? Courage. Courage. People of faith, people who prefer to please God, are simply people of courage. And that courage starts with the affirmation that, God, no matter what, I want to serve you. No matter what, God, I want to please you. And I will start today with that decision. That decision starts today. God, I decide today that whatever may happen, I've already decided, God, that I want to please you. Men, I want to challenge us today. Dads, granddads, I want to challenge us today. Let that be the decision you make today. Let that be the legacy of your leadership in your home and your family and your community. And when people know you, when they think about you, when they remember you in your absence or in your presence, they talk about you. What they talk about is that faith. That radical faith. You know, no matter what, he just wants to please God. And then may we be the ones who say, I want to lead my family to be like that. I want to lead my children to be like that. 1953, May of 1953, two men, Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay, his Sherpa guide, were the first ones to reach the more than 29,000-foot summit of Everest. By 1970, 24 other people had reached Everest. Just 24. But from 1970 to today, more than 800 people on more than 1,400 expeditions have reached the top of Everest. In 2002, in commemoration of Norgay and Sir Edmund Hillary's first expedition, a record was broken when 54 people reached the top of Everest. One of those people was the grandson of Tenzing Norgay. And waiting in the next expedition on base camp that same day, waiting to go up the mountain, was the grandson of Sir Edmund Hillary. Men, simply put, somebody's got to go first. Somebody's got to go first. Somebody's got to lead your family to be people of faith. Dads, granddads, is that going to be you? Because it starts with you deciding, for all the good things I do in life, only one thing really matters, that I please God. Not that I please myself, not even really that I please my children or please my spouse. Now, wives, I don't want to hear from you this week. But that first of all, I decide today that I please God and that I never forget that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I believe that you're talking to some of us this morning, God. I believe there's some of us in here, Father, who realize today that our priorities are all about us. We talk a good talk, God, but it's really about us. Father, may we make it about you today. Again, Father, I want to pray for that dad in here, that man, that grandfather in here, God, who needs Christ as their Savior. That today, Father, when the music starts playing and the people start singing and the convictions in their heart, God, that they would come to Christ today. Father, I want to pray for that man, that father, that granddad, God, who's drifted away from their faith. They're not living for you and they're not leading their family to do it. Father, I pray today they'd come home to you. God, I pray for us who just need to make a deeper commitment. We need to acknowledge again, Father, you are the King of our lives. You are Heavenly Father. You're our leader and our Lord, God. And we acknowledge that today, Father. And may we nail that down today, God, that when we leave this place with all of our heart, God, we're saying we just want to please you. So, Father, work in our midst and work in our hearts today, God. I pray we'd make those decisions on this Father's Day that we need to make, God, that we would yield to you, we would trust you, because, God, we want to please you today. In Jesus' name, amen.